The panic narrative is built upon faulty tests, misleading statistics, and shoddy science. There are several major aspects of the official scientific narrative on the nature, infectivity, and virulence of COVID-19 that are deliberately misleading and spreading panic among the public. These include the use of faulty, miscalibrated PCR lab tests that artificially inflate the number of COVID-19 cases, which we reviewed in Chapter 4. The fact is, a vast majority of those who test positive for SARS-CoV-2 remain asymptomatic and are highly unlikely to spread the disease to others. They simply aren't sick. The PCR test is merely picking up inactive, non-infectious viral particles. In one study, which looked at pregnant women admitted for delivery, 87.9% of women who tested positive for the presence of SARS-CoV-2 had no symptoms. Another study looked at a large homeless shelter in Boston. Of 408 people tested, 147, or 36%, were positive, yet symptoms were conspicuously absent. Cough occurred in only 7.5% of cases, shortness of breath in 1.4%, and fever in 0.7%. All symptoms were uncommon among COVID-positive individuals, the researchers noted. A study in Nature Communications assessed the risk posed by asymptomatic people by looking at the data from a mass screening program in Wuhan, China. The city had been under strict lockdown between January 23rd and April 8th, 2020. Between May 14th and June 1st, 2020, 9,899,828 residents of Wuhan City over the age of 6 underwent PCR testing. Of these, 9,865,404 had no previous diagnosis of COVID-19, and 34,424 were recovered COVID-19 patients. In all, there were 0 symptomatic cases and only 300 asymptomatic cases detected. The overall detection rate was 0.3 per 10,000. Importantly, not a single one of the 1,174 people who had been in close contact with an asymptomatic individual tested positive. Additionally, of the 34,424 participants with a history of COVID-19, 107 individuals, or 0.310%, tested positive again, but none were symptomatic. As noted by the authors, virus cultures were negative for all asymptomatic positive and re-positive cases, indicating no viable virus in positive cases detected in this study. Interestingly, when they further tested asymptomatic patients for antibodies, they discovered that 190 of the 300, or 63.3%, had actually had a hot or productive infection resulting in the production of antibodies, yet none of their contacts had been infected. In other words, even though asymptomatics were or had been carriers of apparently live virus, they still did not transmit it to others. If positive test results tell us nothing about the actual prevalence of disease and its spread, why are we mass testing? Of course, if PCR testing is unreliable, then statistics and public statements by vaccine manufacturers on the efficacy of their vaccines to prevent or cure COVID-19 are also invalid, since they prove efficacy using these tests. Another misleading practice is to conflate statistics on deaths. As reviewed in the previous chapter, 94% of so-called COVID-19 deaths were people who died with COVID-19, as they had other pre-existing chronic diseases or comorbidities. The idea that COVID-19 is a lethal pandemic is also disproven by all-cause mortality statistics, which show mortality has remained steady during 2020 and doesn't veer from the norm. Other fear-mongering tactics include public statements exaggerating the threat of COVID-19 to children, youth, and students, as well as the risk of youth to spread COVID-19 to teachers and older adults in general. Even Anthony Fauci now admits that students pose little or no threat to teachers or older adults, and that schools should be reopened. equating faulty PCR positive test results as cases of active infections of COVID-19. While the death toll was initially the driving fear tactic, it quickly shifted to the dubious claim that there are increasing cases of COVID-19, including among the young. These news reports or public health proclamations are often accompanied by ominous graphs, always trending upward, with dire warnings of a second or third wave of mass hospitalizations and deaths being imminent if people don't hunker down, obey authority, and isolate themselves as thoroughly as they did in the early stages of the pandemic. Hardly ever do these stories mention that 10 times as many people are now being tested as were being tested during the early stages of the pandemic, or that there is mounting evidence of false positives caused by laboratory overmagnification of what are supposedly viral samples from nasal or throat swabs. In the fine print of these alarming news reports, there are often admissions that while actual deaths from COVID-19 have declined, we can expect massive deaths if people stop wearing masks or resume a semblance of normal life. The upbeat news of these scare articles is that the danger of infection and death will eventually subside once everyone gets vaccinated. But we need to ask ourselves, what do these experts and media outlets actually mean by an increasing number of cases of COVID-19? Do they mean that more people than ever are getting seriously ill and are dying from COVID-19? If so, why do official statistics from the CDC and other public health databases show declining numbers of deaths from COVID-19 across the U.S. and the world, even when flu and pneumonia cases are misleadingly counted as COVID-19 cases? Or does it simply mean that more and more people, especially now young people, are being tested and end up with a positive test result? And if so, what does that actually mean? As former New York Times reporter Alex Berenson points out in his book Unreported Truths About COVID-19 and Lockdowns, a case of coronavirus points only to a positive test result. It does not mean that a person will become sick, much less that he or she will be hospitalized, need intensive care, or die. At present, the PCR test is the primary method used to test people for COVID-19. The problem with that is twofold. First of all, the PCR test cannot distinguish between inactive viruses and live or reproductive ones. This is a crucial point, since inactive and reproductive viruses are not interchangeable in terms of infectivity. If you have a non-reproductive virus in your body, you will not get sick, and you cannot spread it to others. For this reason, the PCR test is grossly unreliable as a diagnostic tool. Second, many, if not most, laboratories amplify the RNA collected far too many times, which results in healthy people testing positive. In order for the PCR test to be of any use whatsoever in terms of diagnosing COVID-19, labs would need to considerably reduce the number of amplification cycles used. Here's what you need to understand about the PCR test. The PCR swab collects RNA from your nasal cavity. This RNA is then reverse transcribed into DNA. Due to its tiny size, it must be amplified to become discernible. Each round of amplification is called a cycle, and the number of amplification cycles used by any given test or lab is called a cycle threshold, or CT. The higher the CT, the greater the risk that insignificant sequences of viral DNA end up being magnified to the point that the test reads positive, even if your viral load is extremely low or the virus is inactive and poses no threat to you or anyone else. Many scientists have noted that anything over 35 cycles is scientifically indefensible. Of gain-of-function experiments and mandatory vaccines has admitted that the chances of a positive PCR result being accurate at 35 cycles or more are minuscule. A September 28, 2020 study in Clinical Infectious Diseases revealed that when you run a PCR test at a CT of 35 or higher, the accuracy drops to 3%, resulting in a 97% false positive rate. Yet, tests recommended by the WHO are set to 45 cycles, and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, and the U.S. CDC recommend running PCR tests at a CT of 40. The question is, why, considering the consensus that CTs over 35 render the test useless? When labs use these excessive cycle thresholds, you clearly end up with a grossly overestimated number of positive tests. So what we're really dealing with is a case-demic, an epidemic of false positives. As noted by author and investigative journalist John Rappaport, all labs in the U.S. that follow the FDA guideline are knowingly or unknowingly participating in fraud. Fraud on a monstrous level, because millions of Americans are being told they are infected with the virus on the basis of a false positive result, and the total number of COVID cases in America, which is based on the test, is a gross falsity. The lockdowns and other restraining measures are based on these fraudulent case numbers. Now, if CTs above 35 are scientifically unjustified, just how low of a CT should be used? Quite a few studies have investigated this, so there's no shortage of data at this point. The fact that the WHO, FDA, and CDC still have not changed their CTs downward in light of all these data tells us they're not interested in getting an accurate picture of the infection rate. For example, an April 2020 study in the European Journal of Clinical Microbiology and Infectious Diseases showed that to get 100% confirmed real positives, the PCR test must be run at 17 cycles. Above 17 cycles, accuracy drops dramatically. By the time you get to 33 cycles, the accuracy rate is a mere 20%, meaning 80% are false positives. Beyond 34 cycles, your chance of a positive PCR test being a true positive shrinks to zero. According to a December 3, 2020 systematic review published in the Journal of Clinical Infectious Diseases, no live viruses could be found in cases where a positive PCR test had used a CT above 24. What these studies show, then, is that if you actually have symptoms of COVID-19 and test positive using a PCR test that was run at 35 amplification cycles or higher, then you're probably infected and likely infectious. However, if you do not have symptoms, yet test positive using a PCR test run at 35 CTs or higher, then it is likely a false positive, and you pose no risk to others as you're unlikely to carry any live virus. In fact, provided you're asymptomatic, you're unlikely to be infectious even if you test positive with a test run at 24 CTs or higher. This supports the findings presented earlier in this chapter, which show that asymptomatic people, those who test positive but have no symptoms, are extremely unlikely to transmit live virus to others. According to Stephen A. Buston, professor of molecular medicine and a world-renowned expert on the PCR test, when you get a positive result using a CT of 35 or higher, you're looking at the equivalent of a single copy of viral DNA, and the likelihood of that causing a health problem is minuscule. If you want to frighten people, sell more PCR tests, or reinitiate lockdowns, all you have to do is require more testing and calibrate the tests so that people who are not sick or contagious appear to be infected and able to spread COVID-19. Considering how few governments have taken action to remedy this artificial inflation of COVID-19 cases, which is easy enough, we really have to wonder whether it's part of a global agenda to keep the fear level elevated. In December 2020, Florida became the first U.S. state to require labs to report the cycle threshold used for their PCR tests. In Europe, meanwhile, a court in Portugal has ruled that the PCR test is not a reliable test for SARS-CoV-2, and therefore, any enforced quarantine based on the results is unlawful. China addressed the PCR problem by simply stopping testing people for COVID-19, except for those actually exhibiting symptoms.